I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Stephen Van Lucien. He is a tutor at St. John's College here in Santa Fe. He's founder of the Tecolote program. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm very happy to be back here after, I think, it's about 8 years
since
we last talked.
We need more St. John's on the radio.
I'm for that.
Excellent. Well, you founded, and we talked about it at the time, and we wanted to talk about it again, something called the Tecolote program, which is a program for teachers that comes out of St. John's. What's it all about?
Well, the Tecolote program started about 10 years ago, a little more than that now, when No Child Left Behind was just a kind of glimmer in the imagination of the national legislators. And it seemed to me at that time that things were going in the wrong direction in education, and it was all going toward a kind of mechanization of teaching and mechanization of learning. And I thought somebody needed to do something to try to recognize good teachers and help them keep on being good teachers in what turns out to be a very negative climate for teaching. So we started the Tecolote program. We invite about 65 teachers a year to participate in a set program that's based on the ways of St. John's College, which means reading a good book or a good text of some kind and learning through conversation about that book. And so we invite teachers to participate in small groups. We've had a number of people who come back year after year, and we have a number of new people every year. We try to have between 30% and 50% new people every year. So it's a program that's completely free for the teachers. Not only that, they get lunch, the books, all the materials, and a very modest honorarium. So we didn't want to have a program that just puts a further burden on teachers. So that's basically our structure for Tecolote. The program itself is each teacher comes on 4 Saturdays in the fall, 2 in the fall, 2 in the early winter. We wanted to design this program so that it was teacher friendly in the sense that it falls at a time during their year when they're not overly pressed. And in the first part of their semester is usually a better time for teachers because all of the testing hasn't become as burdensome as it does a little later on.
Now, one thing that you do is you've got every year, every session, a different theme.
Right, and we try to pick themes that we think every teacher should know something about. Now, we invite teachers from all different parts of the educational spectrum. We have people from kindergarten through junior college and some regular colleges in the state. We have high school teachers. We have people from, it's mostly public schools, about 80% of our participants are from public schools. But we also have people from independent schools, and we have school administrators, and sometimes we have people who are school board members, because we want people to understand that there's something else that can be done in education besides teaching to the test. So we try to make this available to a wide spectrum of people.
What are some examples of the themes? Like, what was the first one you ever did?
The first one that we ever did was called Democracy in America. And basically, we read selections from Alexis de Tocqueville's famous book by that title. And then we looked at parts of the United States Constitution and some other things to try to examine what democracy means in America and where it might have come from. Tocqueville is a particularly good text to use because you get a chance to look at America through the eyes of a Frenchman visiting in the 1830s. And things look a little different to him, and he's looking at it in the context of the aristocracy of France, and he sees this as an exciting world development. And he also notices a number of our flaws and our warts, which is helpful for us, too, I think, to consider those things. So Democracy in America was our first one. The next one, we dealt with education and the phenomenon of learning, because I think sometimes we think you can simply solve learning, but my experience, and I'm thinking of my recent work with my granddaughter, is that students tend to be resistant and the best laid plans tend to be of no avail, and you have to come up with something else. You have to be willing to shift and change and work with people. And it isn't a one size fits all sort of thing. So,
what happened with your granddaughter?
Well, she, as my friends tell me, she can sniff it out when I'm when I have a lesson in mind for her, and she just thinks we should be having fun. So I'm having to learn to be more artful, and with not much success so far in trying to make everything I do with her fun and not with a hidden lesson underneath it. So, but I think it's good for me because it takes me back a bit. But we've done other programs. We've done the one that you and I worked on a few years ago was about nuclear energy. And so
nuclear energy, nuclear war, nuclear
everything. Yeah.
And nuclear science
projects like that. I tend to partner with people who know a lot about these things. So Dave Curtis from Los Alamos worked with me on that one, and was kind of ambitious. We tried to get teachers from maybe knowing nothing at all about nuclear energy and the physics of it to actually understanding what the difference is between chemical energy, nuclear energy, where the energy comes from, what E equals MC squared might mean, and all of those things. So I think it was a very exciting program and very timely. The principle here is that good teachers need to go beyond their area. So expertise is one thing, and you want your math teacher to be able to teach math. But you also want good teachers to be interested and involved and informed about the important things that are happening in our world, because more than anything, they are the model for the upcoming generation. They're the conduit through which our culture is directed, and they shape the people who are going to be in our place 10, 15 years from now. So I think it's very important for teachers from all of the different levels, all of the different areas and parts of the educational project to be able to get together and learn with each other through conversation.
It's not only the content, for example, learning or democracy or nuclear issues or whatever, but it's the way you address that content. And I think for people who haven't been to St. John's, either as a student or as somebody attending the community seminars and things like that, it's really different, and it's a really powerful way of addressing things. Could you describe that to us a little bit, how it works up there?
Sure. Just about everything we do, I would describe as learning through conversation. That means we don't have lectures in our regular classes. Sometimes we supplement with lectures sometimes because we don't mean to discount the importance of people who are experts about things. But by and large, we learn through discussing things. We'll read a mathematical theorem. The students will demonstrate it at the blackboard. People will ask questions, and then the conversation grows from there. And it seems that it's an odd thing in our world that the art of conversation is itself a kind of specialized skill. Most teaching is done through by directing material at people and expecting them to regurgitate it. Our thought is that you don't really learn something until you've worked through it with your own mind. And as John Dewey says, it's a learning experience. The material is new for every new learner. It isn't as though it's a dead thing. But so the conversation keeps it alive. Also, being able to listen to one another and to be able to work constructively through conversation. This isn't debate. It isn't a matter of I state my view and then you state your view. But basically, you say something and I ask you about it, and then I'll say something and you ask me about it. And the objective is to end up someplace where neither one of us may have been to start with. And when this works, it's quite a beautiful thing. And as a teacher in this mode, you work at trying to hear what students are saying, try to figure out where they're coming from, and help the conversation build towards something that you may have had some anticipation of, but you didn't really think out in detail beforehand. And you know this because you're a graduate of St. John's, so
yeah.
you've had some experience with our work.
Well, it's a beautiful thing because, I mean, there are people who think that St. John's students might be arrogant. Maybe some of them are or whatever. But to me, it was almost the opposite. It cultivates a kind of humility because you get to your intellectual limits quite often when you're in a seminar. You get to the end of your ability to deal with whatever it is that you're reading. I mean, if you're reading Aristotle or you're reading Tocqueville or whatever, you know, you have to pretty much admit that almost everybody you're reading is smarter than you and has thought stuff out better than you ever have, and you are confronted with it. But the beautiful thing is that you're not alone, and so you do your best, and then the next person builds on what you said, and then somebody else builds on that, and you get together to insights that you never would have gotten to on your own. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's very different from simply being briefed on something. And I think we're frequently briefed on things. The news media constantly give us little sound bits where they're telling us facts about what's happening in the world. But the internet is just full of more information than anyone could ever access. So availability of information is one thing, but then how you put things together and how you stitch those thoughts into some kind of coherence in your own mind or with the help of people you're conversing with is quite quite another matter, and it's something that there are very few opportunities. There are opportunities in our world, but there's not a lot of encouragement for kids to learn how to do this and for teachers to learn how to do this. Teachers are often sent to what they call trainings, and it seems to me that a training is something that's more appropriate to dogs accompanied by a rolled-up newspaper. and I know there's more to it than that, and there are some very good things that are done in these trainings, but we never think of our work as training. We're thinking of bringing people together to engage in a feast of conversation and come out the end of it wiser, more humble, and sometimes and better able to be the kind of people in front of their students that they should be.
We're talking to St. John's tutor Stephen Van Lucien. Now, after all these years, and you've been at St. John's for a long time, are you still in learning mode yourself?
You know, I am, Mary Charlotte. It's interesting. If my students come prepared to work, and mostly they do, it's very exciting for me to help them get into the books that are so very important to me and in my life. And after all these years at St. John's, these are the books that we read are not books that simply deliver their message and then they're gone. But many of the books I'm doing, for example, the books I'm doing with my seniors now, I've read maybe 10 or 15 times. And it's not an exaggeration to say that every time I read them and every time I engage with a conversation with my students, I see something new. I see something that I wasn't prepared to see the last time I read them. And so to help my students in their first engagement with these books and to see what you see the first time through and help them build that up through conversation is a very exciting process for me. And to see the light come into their eyes when they notice something, they construe something, they start to see some overarching pattern that wasn't available to them when they read silently to themselves. And I find that very exciting.
So through the Tecolote program, you are attempting to, and I think successfully, attempting to give that whole method to other teachers that they can bring into their classrooms, whether they're fifth grade teachers or high school chemistry teachers or whatever.
I'm always a little careful about the notion of giving someone a method. We're working with people who are doing a very fine job, and largely what we're trying to do is simply recognize their good work and encourage them to keep at it, because the life of a teacher in the public schools these days is a very difficult thing. They're under pressure from all quarters, and for someone to say, no, we really appreciate that you're there, that you're doing what you do, is something that I think is essential to Tecolote. And we tried not to insist that they or even encourage them to do what we're doing. We want them to come and engage in the process, to be a learner themselves, to see their other fellow teachers as learners with them, and then go back into their own work with encouragement, with enthusiasm, and do what they do, and it may turn out that something that we've done with them is something that they can adapt to their own circumstances, and very often that's true, but we are really trying hard not to push something on them or to train them in a particular way, but we want them to simply on their own choose what they would like to take from us and put it to work in their own classrooms.
So part of the reason we're here talking today is that you've got a new round of Tecolote coming up, and you have a new theme.
Right. Next year, we're going to undertake a program in Islam and Egypt, and this is brand new for Tecolote, and it's brand new for me. So I'm working closely with some of my colleagues at St. John's to make sure that we're going to have a really good and strong program. Basically, the first semester, the first two meetings in the fall are going to have to do with Islam itself, because I think what I'm coming to see is that I've been very ignorant about Islam and very ignorant about happenings in the Middle East. What we would like to do is to help people see this a little bit more from the inside through the texts. And so we'll be trying to understand the message of Islam, the what constitutes Islam as a religion, the beauty of the Islamic message in the first semester. And then in the second semester, we're going to look at the problems of Egypt as a kind of geopolitical question with a strong influence of Islam on the issues that come up in Egypt, but also the relationship of Egypt to the rest of the world and the internal structures of Egypt. So as is always the case with Tecolote, we are not able to do justice to the topics that we undertake, but we do try to do a few small things that are very important that will help people to consider and reflect on important things and be able to develop further their interest and their knowledge of these things on their own with the underpinnings that we provide in Tecolote. So I'm very excited about this project, and I think it's very timely. So that's what we're doing next year. And I also want to point out that that we're constantly looking for new teachers to bring into this program. And if you're a teacher yourself who would find this interesting to do, you're welcome to nominate yourself. Or if you know a teacher who you would like to recommend, we would be very happy to receive a nomination from you. And at some point, I'd like to give you a contact number for that.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that at the end of the program in just a little bit. I wanted to get back to this whole question of Egypt and Islam. I think it's amazing that you are taking on something that you don't know that much about yourself and going and just sort of going for it. How do you do that? Like, what do you do to prepare?
Well, this is the, I guess I think of it as the blessing. You might think of it as the curse of St. John's, is that we see our work as dealing with the liberal arts, which, if you have them, would equip you to undertake any question, any issue, any work that you might want to address in the world. And so I'm always very eager to undertake a new project when it's something that's fresh to me, where I haven't got much knowledge. So I begin by asking people I trust, where do I start with this? And so I'll talk to colleagues at St. John's and colleagues in other colleges and universities and say, if we wanted to do a project like this, what do you think would be some good things for us to consider? So I start there. I go to the internet. I go to the Wikipedia. And little by little, I start putting it together. And then I'll read a few books, maybe two or three books that I think have been recommended to me that will sort of start to set the stage. And then gradually, one book leads to another, and before you know it, you've got a whole pile of books that you're working on. In a relatively short time, you start to develop a sense of what the topic might be about. Now, it's a very different matter to have done that compared to being an expert in something where you've spent 10 or 20 or 30 years intensively studying a thing. But this is part of what I consider the essence of being an appropriate generalist. An appropriate generalist is somebody who actually has the tools to understand things and to be able to judge them without being an expert about them. And I think this quality of being a generalist is something that we are in danger of losing in our country, because we've gone so intensively towards specialization. And very often, if you ask a teacher, well, what about such and such, they'll respond to you, well, I can't answer that because that's not my field. I teach mathematics. Don't ask me about things that are going on in national politics or what's going on in the world. Ask me about mathematics. That's what I do. And in a democracy, we really do need people to be generalists, to be able to say, well, look, it's not good enough to just say nuclear energy is the business of those people in Washington, never mind, leave me alone. I think we all have a responsibility to have some knowledge, to consider these things with some care, to be conversant in them, and to participate. So I feel in some ways I'm doing my part. I'm trying to be a better citizen. I'm learning about these things, and I'm helping to bring about a program that will be good for my fellow teachers.
We're talking to St. John's tutor, Stephen Van Lucien. I think the more you start to do that, the less fearful you are of doing it the next time.
I think that's true. And there's necessarily a sense of anxiety when you start out onto something new, and a sense that, well, maybe this first thing I'm hearing isn't quite right, or maybe I don't understand it. So you keep pressing and asking, and in many ways the work that you do in preparation, that I do in preparation for a program like this, is a lot like conversation. There's a kind of internal conversation where you're asking yourself, what's the next thing, or what do I think about this, or how do I understand this idea that I'm looking at for the first time, or maybe I'm looking at it for the second time. I think it's but I think that anxiety gets overcome, and it's a very exciting process, because you think, oh my goodness, here's a whole domain of things that is very important that now I have at least a beginning footing with. So I do think it's that it makes the next thing, it's like, well, we took up nuclear energy, we took up climate change, we've taken up some of the most profound philosophy that's ever been written when we dealt with knowledge and opinion and the works of Immanuel Kant. So These are things that that St. John says, well, yeah, it's difficult, but apply yourself, ask questions, count on your fellow students to help you, and you'll make headway, and it's exciting and surprising.
And there's this sense you get, I mean, if you have struggled and been able to make sense of, through reading and conversation, Immanuel Kant, you can do anything.
There is that feeling, and it's a good feeling to have. It's also a little dangerous because, I mean, you're likely to bite off more than you can chew. But then I think that's then in some ways a great virtue, because if you're overly timid and you never take anything on, or if as a student you're only willing to do what's been predigested by your teachers, that's extremely limiting. So I think we're all better off to be a little bit overly adventuresome in our learning and to branch out and try things that are a little too hard. And if it's too hard, we'll back off a little bit and take a smaller bite. But I think that's a much more appropriate way for us to be with students and something that we should expect of teachers too, is that they'll reach out beyond their comfort level and try new things and pass that kind of enthusiasm and willingness and courage onto their students.
When you have teachers coming into the Tecolote program, what do you hear about the struggles of their daily lives in their classrooms? Do they talk about that at all?
They do, and I've from the very beginning I've wanted Tecolote not to be just a place where teachers can come and complain about how bad it is under the high stakes testing regime, but inevitably people will talk about this, and they're under tremendous pressure to get students to perform on these tests that are submitted by the state or by other agencies that really don't have a lot of bearing on helping students learn more, but they're basically used to grade the students, to grade the schools, to grade the teachers, and so there's a lot of pressure to see what some people want to think of as corn on the ground. We want to see the product, the fruit, and we don't really care about all of that stuff that has to do with the individuality of the students and the difficulties they face and the problems they have in their homes and all the different issues that affect how a student is in the classroom and learns or doesn't learn. So teachers will talk about this. It seems to me that what's essential is to have really dedicated teachers who know, who care enough about their students to go beyond those formal criteria and principals in schools, who know how to work with their teachers and support the good ones. And we have a lot of good principals in New Mexico who are able to work very well with their teachers and encourage them to not simply settle for this high stakes testing regime. So we hear a lot about that. It seems to be getting worse and worse as far as I can tell. I like to think that it's a pendulum that will at some point start swinging back the other way, but you never know about things like this. There's a way in which with the core curriculum, things are being standardized. Decision-making about what you should learn, in my mind, really should be in the hands of the teachers, largely, because, of course, we want everyone to be able to do arithmetic and to read, but should you read novels? Which novels? And I think it's really part of the democratic process for there to be an ongoing debate about that, for teachers to be able to choose what they think is best for their students and their circumstances, and for there to be some differences. So that seems to me to be the opposite of this one-size-fits-all, some kind of something being dictated from Washington about what everybody ought to read, how everyone ought to be educated. Pluralism has been the strength of American education since its beginning, and I think that Tecolote is one way that we have of kind of standing up and saying we want that to continue, and we want to encourage people to press for pluralism in education.
What kinds of responses have you gotten from the teachers who've gone through the program?
Almost uniformly positive. They, first of all, they can't believe that anybody would invite them to a program where we serve them lunch with a cloth tablecloth and metal utensils. Usually things that are done for teachers require them to go through a lunch line in a cafeteria. So they're very astonished and pleased at being treated well. And being invited to participate in a program that isn't simply trying to impose something on them. So the teachers are, by and large, just extremely happy with this. They talk about they come back year after year and tell us about what they're doing in their classrooms and how they're working with their schools. We try to get groups of two or three teachers and an administrator from a particular school to come in small teams like that. And sometimes that works out very nicely too, because then when they go back into their own environment, they can cook up something that just one teacher on her own can't manage. So they are very enthusiastic about this. And one of the reasons that I've been so happy to do it for all these years is they are pretty much exhilarated at the end of the program. They're full of energy. They're full of excitement. They go back into their work with a kind of freshness that's just really inspiring for me. And so I think, well, I just have to keep doing this. And so that's why I'm one of the reasons that I'm very excited about this.
If there are any teachers listening or others who want to find out more information, whom should they call? How do they get in touch with you?
We have a number they can call, and we have an email address, so I'm going to give you both of those. So the number they can call is 505-920-3055.
920-3055, okay.
And the email address that works best for us is tecolotesf@gmail.com. Now that's tecolote, tecolotesf@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, Stephen Van Lucien is a tutor at St. John's. He's founder of the Tecolote program, and it's just great to be back with you. And let's, as I said before, let's get more of you and St. John's back on the Radio Cafe.
I think that would be great. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, Mary Charlotte.